Oh, good morning, and welcome to the third Sunday in Advent. And this morning, as we start to go into the Christmas period, we're just going to focus on the subject of the morning, which is just being a bit tired of uncertainty. As we move through this period of Advent, I wanted to focus on what this might have been like for two key characters, Mary and Joseph. And what can we learn for our lives today? We have so many uncertainties to deal with. Gosh, are we going to be in lockdown at Christmas? Did the Prime Minister know about the Christmas party? Am I on the naughty list? Or did Santa miss that memo? Or maybe I had a promise from God years ago and nothing's happened. I feel so on my own, even when I'm in church. Why does everyone else seem to be hearing from God? This journey just isn't what I expected. Has God really got a plan? We read in Matthew, which is our main scripture for the day. Matthew chapter 1, 18 to 24. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. He did not consummate the marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. I thought it was interesting in here that this is one of the most famous prophecies probably that has ever been. This is the one that gets repeated time and time again and has done for year upon year. Every Christmas, this one comes out. Every Christmas, this one is acted out in nativity plays. Must be the most widely remembered prophecy that has ever been. In fact, it might be one of the most remembered scriptures across generations, across nations. But the one prophecy bit, which is mentioned in this scripture, is only one of the three elements of prophecy that actually was spoken about with Isaiah. In most nativity plays, this is the start of the show. The title role, the role you want your son or your daughter or your grandson or your granddaughter, you want them to have that part. This is the one which is the one we all long for. So when was this prophecy? This prophecy was about 700 years before Jesus. So I just thought it was interesting. What was happening 700 years ago in England? What happened around us 700 years ago? Well, 700 years ago, Edward I was on the throne of England. Robert the Bruce was causing chaos in Scotland. There was no Facebook. There was no email. There was no phone. There was no cars. Carrier pigeon was probably the quickest form of communication, so at least Twitter was around. But it all started with a prophecy, and the prophecy comes in Isaiah. It's Isaiah chapter 7, verses 13 to 17. And let me read it. "Then Isaiah said, 'Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. He'll be eating curds and honey, and when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, for before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. The Lord will bring on you and on your people and on the house of your father a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria. Interesting how we've got the prophecy about Mary and a prophecy about the virgin birth. But we have two other prophecies here. One of which is the land of the two kings will be laid to waste. Fascinating scripture, because not only does it give a prophetic message of the coming salvation, it gives a timestamp in history. It gives a timestamp of things that actually happened and historically factual. So, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid to waste. Well, Quirinus, who had been appointed by Caesar Augustus to replace Herod, this is Herod Archelaus, splitting Judah from being ruled by the Herodian dynasty. It was a time of rebellion. The people had lost the faith in their leader in the main province of Judah, and Caesar Augustus decided to take action. So the rule of Herod and the one nation of Herod the Great had been then taken over after Herod the Great died by his two sons. And the two sons, one ruled Galilee and the Samaritan regions, and the other Judea. This Herod running Judea was doing a really, really bad job. And Caesar Augustus decided he'd had enough and split the nation in two. He then appointed Quirinus, who was the Roman governor of Syria. So the prophecy was not only foretelling the fact of a virgin birth and the miraculous sign. It was not just retelling that the Herod who controlled the land and splitting the promised land in two, it's a pinpoint in history. It's a set of actions in motion. It sets the stage for the fulfillment of God's promise. God had everything in play, both in the spiritual and in the physical, 700 years before the time where these actions happened. So let's just talk a little bit about Mary and Joseph. Whew, what a journey. It's fair to say that they were quite used to walking, they were quite used to doing journeys, but just to give you an idea of the sort of journey, you'll see on screen and you'll see there's a map, because I always, whenever I talk, I always seem to have a map, and just for me, I like them. But it seems to be from Nazareth to Bethlehem, it's about 95 miles. It's a bit like walking from Encounter Church to St. Paul's Cathedral, which ironically is around the same mileage. At a walking speed of about 3.5 miles an hour, which I'm told is a good pace of walking, that would take 27 hours of solid walking in the last stages of pregnancy, with all the kinds of checkpoints you would need at the borders for leaving Herod's area, moving into the new Roman area. It was bandit country. This was a big journey. And this was a big journey for someone who was in the last stage of pregnancy. So it just got me to thinking, Mary and Joseph, what were they thinking about this at the time? So some months earlier, Mary, laying in bed, having a nice night, having nothing really troubling her too much, she was engaged to get married, things were going okay. And the angel of the Lord came upon her and said, Mary, you're going to have a baby. It was probably a little bit of a shock. But she was met by an angelic host. She was met by a very angel of God, the very word of God coming into her and the very Holy Spirit coming upon her. It was pretty much an in-your-face sort of word. It was not the sort of thing you could ignore. Not only was it a word, but it was truly and literally birthed within her. Well, God then confirmed this word to Joseph. So Joseph obviously was going, uh-oh, what's going on here? So God decided he's going to have to make sure Joseph gets this and gets this well. So again, he sent an angel, but not any angel. He sent a scary angel. Joseph was again in his dream and he was met by the angel. Fear not. God was making it very clear to Joseph. Joseph, this is the word of God. Joseph, this is my will. Joseph, this is a fulfillment of the prophecies of Isaiah. And as the pregnancy went on, and as time grew on, a number of weeks, a number of months going on, even through that time, further confirmation that yes, this is really is the true word of God, this is really is the true message, Mary spent time with Elizabeth. When she got there, they prayed, they met, they prayed, they had time together. It was confirmed again and again, even with the baby within Elizabeth jumping with excitement that Mary had arrived and that baby Jesus was inside her. If she needed any more confirmation, this was it. But this message from God, this prophetic calling, this calling from on high, just wasn't working out quite the way they thought it would. Can you imagine? Can you imagine this conversation? So Joseph, he's been at work. Joseph, good carpenter, in his joinery shop, making all kinds of things, making tables, chairs for people, making a cot. He's got to make a cot, baby en route. He's going to get everything ready, and he's a good carpenter. And so he works hard. Joseph comes home after a hard day in the joinery shop to his heavily pregnant wife. "Hi, Mary," he says, slightly biting his lip. "I've got some news." "What is it, Joseph? Did you finish making the cot? I'm so looking forward to seeing it." No, not that sort of news, Mary. "But it is nearly finished." "Did the Lord come and visit you again with a scary angel?" No, not quite. "But I did have a scary visit from the town official." "Joseph, what have you done? Not another speeding fine on that donkey." "No, Mary, that was a one-off, and I just had an encounter with a scary angel." "No, they said I have to change. There's been a change of government in my hometown, and the province of Judea has gone under Roman rule. We've got to go and be counted for the census." "So, Joseph, you did tell them I'm only a couple of weeks away from having a baby." "Joseph, the midwife's told me to take it easy." "You did tell them we'll pop up to be counted when the baby is old enough to travel." "Well, no, Mary. They didn't give me a chance. He said we've got no choice. We've got to go tomorrow." What do you think Mary's response would have been? Was Mary's response, "Okay, Joseph, that's fine. I could do with a nice walk"? Or, "Who said that? You can tell them from me." Or, "Do you know I am carrying the Son of God, and a 95-mile walk might impact the course of humanity for eternity?" It's fair to say, the prophecy fulfilled with Mary having a child within her. I have no doubt that the two of them, Mary and Joseph, didn't quite expect that they'll be doing a 95-mile walk right at the end of the pregnancy. I have no doubt they had not really planned it that way. I'm sure they'd thought it time and time again and talked and talked and talked about how this is going to be and how we'll have to look things out. We'll get the cot ready, get the room ready, get everything sorted. The idea of a 95-mile walk, I don't think, was high on the agenda. I think sometimes in our Christian walk, we have promises, or we heard messages, or we have hopes. Some of us have dreams. Some of us have a real word from God through scripture or through a prophecy or through all kinds of different areas and different ways. And sometimes it just doesn't feel like it's going the way we thought. Sometimes we can feel a bit like we're home alone. And we can really feel a bit home alone in our faith. Sometimes we can really feel a bit home alone in our church. Sometimes we can feel a bit home alone with a relationship with our God. I look around. I see others who are being touched by God. Why not me? They are amazing prayers. And look, they get all the answers. Why not me? They must have a hotline to God. They must get a fresh blast of the Holy Spirit every single day. I just don't get that. They've just got it so together. I really feel a bit alone. So why doesn't it feel like that for me? Why do I seem to be going on doing this all on my own? Why is that promise God made not happening? God, what's going on? I really feel like I'm home alone. In this message today, and the message of Christmas, is sometimes there is that feeling of being alone, but God is working through it. Mary and Joseph, as a lovely couple, were working through a promise that was made 7 years, or prophesied 700 years earlier. It wasn't working out the way they thought, but they were faithful to it. Not faithful, willingly. I'm sure they didn't really want to walk 95 miles at a late stage of pregnancy. One of the other films I like, which isn't necessarily a Christmas film, but I think it's a great film, one with Tom Hanks. It's called The Terminal. And if you haven't seen it, it's a great film to watch, where he's stuck. He's come in, he's flown in from a country which all of a sudden has had a civil war and now is not a recognized country. He's arrived at JFK Airport in New York, and before he can actually get through security, his passport isn't valid. He's now not allowed to go anywhere because he doesn't have an identity. He's stuck in the terminal building. And he's stuck in the terminal building for a long period of time. He can't leave. He can't fly back because his country is in civil war and not taking anyone in. He can't go into America because he hasn't got valid paperwork and haven't got a valid passport. He's stuck. He can't go anywhere. He's just stuck in that terminal. Yeah, you know, sometimes in our Christian walk, we can just feel we're just a bit stuck. It's a bit same old, same old. We're just doing the motions. Just doesn't feel like I'm getting anywhere. Sure, I know I'm a Christian. I know that Jesus died for me. I know that he sent his Holy Spirit to help and guide me. I just don't feel it. I've had promises made over me. I've had words spoken. I've had been prayed for many times. I just don't seem to be moving forward. I feel like I'm just stuck in a rut. It's just so hard when it all seems like I'm just never getting anywhere. And then the classic, one of the classic films of my youth and my younger years, and one of the classic films of probably all time, The Wizard of Oz. I love The Wizard of Oz because it always reminds me of sitting there on cold nights, sitting there as a family watching this movie, watching all these bright, wonderful, bright colours and so on, and all the excitement and the tension of the film. And but there's a real message in this for today. Sometimes on our walk with Jesus, on our walk in our faith, there's just so much that just seems to be holding us back. I'm just not good enough to do this walk with God. If only my finances were better, it would be so much easier. Trying to juggle work, family, and then fit in time for God, it's just pulling me down. I am trying to please so many people, but all I want to do is scream. Why is it so hard? Why does it seem everyone else's walk is easier than mine? It's been such a long time since I heard the promise from God. I think he might have stopped listening. In The Wizard of Oz, the walk that they take, where they have to go and find the wizard, it's a windy road. It goes left and right and round and round. And with it, she picks up people and characters on the road. And it's all these things which are weighing down and slowing down the journey. And sometimes it just feels too hard. Sometimes in our walk with God and in our walk with our faith, sometimes it can just feel really tiring and can feel really hard. So let's get back to Mary and Joseph. 95 miles to walk, fulfilling a promise, not really knowing what was about to come. At this stage, they would have been walking to Bethlehem. Right, we're going to get the census, we'll get the count, and we'll get home. At this stage, they weren't planning a trip to Egypt. At this stage, they weren't planning to see three kings. At this stage, they weren't planning to be in a stable with the shepherds and all the other elements coming. They were just walking to go and get counted. And I have no doubt Joseph was hoping to get back to his workshop as quick as he could. He still had that cot to finish. So I think there's some important messages in this. Let's first reflect on the example and the message that we get from Mary and Joseph. God's plan is not like social media. It's not instant. It's not without planning. It's covered all the bases in both the natural and the supernatural. God had it covered completely. God had the timing of the birth of Christ in line with the timing of Judah being split, in line of the timing of the king of Assyria or the leader of the Assyrian area taking rule. This was not a coincidence of time. The timing was then, but that was 700 years in the making. Sometimes God can inspire us with an angelic visitation, through our dreams, through words from others, through guiding us to the words of Scripture. With Mary and Joseph, absolutely, they had visitations from angels. They had words of confirmation. And then months passed, and the baby was coming. And then circumstances took them. Walking the walk can sometimes be confusing to us. We can't see how the big picture works. It sometimes takes us down a path we didn't really expect. Mary and Joseph knew that very well. I know that very well. When I became a Christian, I was 13 years old. My father had died only a few months earlier, and I was seeking a relationship with a father. And someone said to me, well, there is one other father you can call on, which is your Heavenly Father. And for me, that was just made sense. I committed myself to Christ at 13 years old. It wasn't fireworks. It wasn't angelic visits. It was just I needed and felt for the warmth of a father. And God comforted me. He comforted me as a father. And I looked upon my Heavenly Father as my father. In my younger years, I was a radical Christian. I was one of the fanatic Christians. I would speak up about anything and every opportunity. It was I was one of those annoying Christians at that age, which was I was right and everybody else was wrong. Or maybe that's just being a teenager. When I was 16, I was involved in running a youth group at my church. We had a youth group which we started with 6 or 7 people. Within 6 months, we had about 40 people coming to our youth group. We had to move out of people's houses because there was no space, and we took over the church rooms on a Sunday evening. It was a really great time. I was on the real fast track to going into church leadership. I was on a fast track to go into train to be an evangelist with an itinerant evangelist at the time that I knew. It was a real fast track movement. I thought, yes, this is the path. This is where it's going. This is where it's leading. I had a dream of standing there in front of a huge auditorium preaching, almost like the Billy Graham style size of preaching. But then there came a day when a choice was put in front of me. And that choice was, you can go along this path into that life of full-time ministry, that life ahead of you. Or you can take this job, which means you'll be traveling for the next 2 years. You'll be traveling overseas, mainly in Europe, on your own. But you'll be traveling and the company will pay for you and do things like that. It wasn't an exciting job, but it was an opportunity to go and see the world and travel and do things. And it was a real dilemma for me. It was a real dilemma because everything in me said, well, the right way thing and the right thing to do must be to go straight into this Christian ministry and all the way through and become a vicar or a bishop or whatever it's going to be. High ambitions, obviously, as you can see. But actually, the right path for me was not that. The right path for me was actually to go overseas. I experienced more in my time overseas and grew my faith to a depth more in my time overseas than I did through going through the process and the system of church. I had time on my own. I had time to reflect. I had time to worship with different types of worshiping bodies, gospel church, American Baptist church, a Catholic church, all kinds of different dynamics of worship, which really broadened my understanding of the wealth and the breadth of his family. There was times at that point where, my goodness, I felt alone. I was out there on my own, me and my suitcase. Sometimes we just do feel a little bit alone in all this. I'd come back. When I came back, I'd come to the church and I'd see people I was in my youth group with who were going on, they were on fire for doing this, and they were going off and doing this mission here and doing this thing here. And I would look and go, wow, God's really blessing that and blessing you and this and that and the other one. Just not feeling it. So sometimes there was those points where I just really just feel alone. This morning, one of my prayers for you, if you listen to this, is that you will, in that time of alone, be still and listen to that small whisper from your Father. You may feel like you're a bit stuck in that terminal, just not going anywhere, just going through the motions. I'm coming along because it's the right thing to do. I feel like I should be here, because I always have been. And if I don't come, people are going to ask me, well, why didn't you come? I feel a bit guilty if I don't. I just feel like it's just, I'm really not getting anywhere. I don't really feel like I'm growing. Or you just might feel like some of the trials and some of the frustrations of everyday life are just making this walk difficult. We've had nearly 2 years now, nearly 2 years where we've all had that level of revisiting our where we're at, revisiting our sense of identity, revisiting our sense of security. It's been a very, very challenging time for all of us. And we've all had to feel and deal with things in different ways. And this isn't over yet. Oh, I wish it was. Are we going to be locked down for Christmas? Are we going to have another round of booster jabs and other jabs and so on? Is this ever going to stop? But the Lord has a plan for you. He always has had a plan for you. He wants to direct your steps. He knows every hair on your head. He loves you completely. Indeed, his ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. His love for us is deeper than humanity can fathom. His promises are sure. His inheritance is secured. This morning, I really wanted to reflect, before we move into this Christmas period, on just two characters, two very famous characters, Mary and Joseph. How they had had a promise from God that was working out in the physical through the birth of Christ. But in that moment of that 9 month period, they must have gone through so much in the way of, is this real? What's happening? Are we doing this? Is it not going on forward? Is it, and so on? So many questions. So many times we're sitting there together and going, I'm just not sure what God's doing here. This morning, I want to pray that through this period of Christmas, we'll do a few things. If you are feeling just a little bit alone, I just pray the Lord will bless you with a sense of Him through this period, with a sense of His peace, a sense of His presence, a sense of His love. If you feel like you're in a bit of a rut, just stuck in that terminal, I do pray that you will see that for some, this will be a waiting time. For some, this will be a time to accept refreshing, more so than look at the waiting. But there is times where it's just, we've got to wait. And for those who are finding this walk continually to be difficult, continually to be hard, it's not easy. It isn't as easy as everyone said. They said, give my life to Christ and it will all be fine. Well, that's what I thought they said. The walk isn't always easy, but it isn't alone. The walk isn't on your own. The Lord wants to walk with you. He wants you to lay His burdens down at His feet. So as we come to a close, let's pray. Precious and loving Father, be close to us as we prepare to celebrate the great gift of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus, coming to this world in human flesh. Your promise of salvation and the right to walk with you through grace. as we reflect on our walk with you and the promises you have for us, may we have a fresh awakening in our spirit of the plans and purposes you have for us. I confess that sometimes I find this walk hard, and pray you will come close and walk by my side. When I feel all alone, illuminate your spirit within me. Let my eyes turn to you. Allow me the grace to share my aloneness with you. When I feel like I am just doing my walk with you and going nowhere, illuminate your path. Give me a glimpse of your purpose for me. Give me the strength to persevere, the hope to cling to, and the joy of just walking with you. When I feel like my day to day is just getting in the way, help me to lay down those things that trouble me at the foot of your cross. Give me the eyes to see your arms open wide, accepting me, just as I am. Allow me the joy of your light shining in me. And as we come towards this Christmas, may the Lord bless you. May he lead you and guide you to fulfill the promises he has for you. May you be blessed with the courage to walk his path, wherever that may be. And may you, as Mary and Joseph did all those years ago, bring the very presence of Jesus with you to those on the road that our Father has put before you. Be blessed. Be very blessed.